Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a nation making a massive bet on its future defense with cutting-edge nuclear submarines.
Right, part of the AUKUS deal. Huge deal.
Exactly. A landmark collaboration between Australia, the UK, and the US. Really the crown jewel of Australia's defense strategy going forward.
Yeah.
But now, what if, and this is the kicker, what if a seemingly unrelated, multi-billion dollar local infrastructure project, what if that inadvertently created a massive security vulnerability right at the heart of that national security cornerstone?
It almost sounds like, well, like fiction, doesn't it?
It really does.
But it's actually a very real scenario playing out. You've got these sort of good intentions on what looks like a collision course.
Okay.
So on one side, you have Australia's massive commitment to AUKUS, billions, decades of planning, huge strategic shift.
Huge bet.
And on the other, the Western Australian state government's got this multi-billion-dollar Westport project.
Yeah.
It's all about boosting the economy, which is, a good goal in itself.
Sure, economic development is crucial.
Exactly. So our deep dive today is really all about this surprising and pretty critical intersection between these two massive projects.
And the insights we're looking at, they're pretty compelling. We've got a few key sources lined up.
Yeah.
There's this really insightful report from the Institute for Integrated Economic Research Australia, and it's co-authored by two very distinguished retired military figures, Air Vice Marshal John Blackburn and Commodore Vince DiPietro.
Right, serious defense backgrounds there.
Definitely. And then there's this frankly startling fact that a local WAMP, a Mr. McGinn, he felt he had to go directly to Washington, D.C. officials to warn them about this exact issue.
Wow, really? Bypassing usual channels.
Seems like it. And he was apparently supported by a paper from the Maritime Union of Australia as well.
Okay, so there's concern from multiple angles then.
Definitely.
So our mission today really is to get our heads around why moving a major container port so close to a nuclear submarine base isn't just, an awkward fit, but why it creates this bottleneck with really serious inherent security implications.
A bottleneck. Okay.
Yeah, and we're going to explore the whole range, everything from, well, the chilling realities of modern asymmetric warfare.
You mean like unconventional threats?
Exactly, where commercial vessels can basically become weapon platforms. We'll get into that. And then there's the surprisingly devastating risk of just, a simple channel blockage.
Okay.
The core insight we really want to distill for you, the listener, is why this whole situation matters so much
Yeah.
and what the real stakes are for national security.
So let's maybe start with the AUKUS piece. That announcement, September 2021, it shifted Australia's whole strategy towards nuclear-powered submarines, right? Ditched the French deal.
Correct. A massive pivot.
And that immediately brought up this monumental challenge of, well, where do you put them? The infrastructure needed?
Absolutely. Vice Admiral Jonathan Mead, who's heading up the Australian side of acquiring these things,
Right.
he even said Australia needs to design and build the yard for these submarines by the end of this decade. And it has to have incredibly high security protection, like top tier.
Right, you'd expect nothing less for a nuclear submarine.
Precisely. And that's exactly where this other project, the Westport project, enters the picture.
Okay, connect the dots for us.
So Westport is this huge state initiative, about what, $7.2 billion, to move container operations from the current port in Fremantle to a new facility in Kwinana.
Kwinana. And the critical detail.
The critical detail is that Kwinana is roughly 20 kilometers, so not far at all, from HMAS Stirling on Garden Island.
HMAS Stirling, that's the Navy base.
That's the Royal Australian Navy's largest base, yeah.
Yeah.
HMAS is Her Majesty's Australian ship. And Stirling is, well, it's the key base on the West Coast.
And it's set to host not just Australian subs eventually, but US and UK ones too.
That's the plan. Rotational visits from U.S. and U.K. nuclear submarines under AUKUS Pillar 1, and then down the track, Australia's own fleet.
So if you picture it on a map, you've got this massive federal defense project, the sub base,
Yeah.
and this massive state infrastructure project, the new port,
Right.
suddenly ending up practically next door to each other. So what makes this particular setup a bottleneck in a security sense?
Well, it basically funnels both the high-value nuclear submarine traffic
Okay.
and a rapidly increasing volume of commercial shipping traffic through the exact same narrow shipping channel.
Ah, one channel for everyone.
One channel. Inside Cockburn Sound, that's the waterway leading directly to HMAS Stirling.
And there's already commercial traffic there now.
Oh, yeah, significant amounts already. But once Westport is fully up and running, the projected movements of shipping through that single channel and, crucially, right near HMAS Sterling, they're expected to more than double.
More than double?
Yeah, you'll have loads of these ro-ro ships that's roll on, roll off for cars and trucks.
Right.
Break bulk cargo, so stuff not in containers, plus all the standard container ships docking right there in Quina.
How close are we talking?
Some docks will be as close as maybe 6 kilometers across the sound from HMAS Sterling itself.
6 kilometers, that's not far in maritime terms.
Not at all. And you often have other commercial vessels just anchored, moored even closer, just waiting for access to the port.
Okay, doubling traffic in a narrow vital channel. That sounds like, well, congestion waiting to happen at the very least.
Definitely congestion. But the report, the IIR report, it highlights these emerging security challenges that go way beyond just, you know, general traffic jams.
What do they mean by that? What are these emerging challenges?
They're really focused on modern asymmetric warfare.
Okay.
And the really startling takeaway here is how things we once thought were just, well, benign, like ordinary commercial vessels.
Yeah.
They're now seen as potential weapon platforms themselves.
Weapon platforms? How?
Well, the authors point to recent conflicts. Think Ukraine, think Israel, where drones and other weapons were actually deployed successfully directly from shipping containers.
From inside a standard container.
Exactly. They mention Ukraine's Operation Spiderweb. Apparently, they smuggled drones into Russia inside regular shipping containers to attack airfields.
Wow.
So it shows how these commercial vessels, which look completely normal, innocuous, they can become these sophisticated covert launch pads for attacks.
Right
next door to critical military assets like a nuclear submarine base.
That's a concept I hadn't fully grasped before. So you're saying a foreign flagged container ship just waiting its turn in Cockburn Sound could potentially pose a direct, serious threat to a nuclear submarine or even the base itself.
That's the potential risk they're highlighting, absolutely.
And are most of the ships likely to be foreign?
Overwhelmingly. I mean, the numbers are stark. Australia currently has only, I think, 15 commercial vessels, over 2,000 tons flying its own flag. 15?
Only 15 out of all that traffic.
Right. So virtually all of this increased shipping traffic, the doubling we talked about, would involve foreign vessels, each with, you know, varying levels of oversight and scrutiny.
And that lack of oversight is a problem in itself.
It's a huge issue. The report points out the sheer opacity, the lack of visibility the Commonwealth government has on foreign shipping or the freight arriving before it enters these restricted waters. That alone is a significant national security issue. It's a major blind spot.
Okay, so beyond a direct attack, like launching drones, the report also talks about the risk of channel blockage. How serious is that, especially with just one way in and out of Cockburn Sound?
It's a critical concern, and frankly, it's kind of a nightmare scenario for planners.
Well, a nightmare? Just because it traps the subs?
Well, that's part of it, but the insight here is that a seemingly minor maritime incident, like a ship running aground.
Okay.
It isn't just an inconvenience. It becomes a strategic choke point. It could potentially cripple not just military operations out of Sterling, but also a major city's civilian infrastructure.
How so?
They point to an example, the MV Arena incident off New Zealand back in 2011.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. Big container ship.
That's the one. It grounded and it took 6 to 7 weeks just to lift the containers off the wreck.
Weeks. Just to unload it.
Weeks.
Yeah.
And the environmental recovery, the cleanup, went on for months and months after that.
Okay. So apply that to Cockburn Sound.
Right. In Cockburn Sound, such a blockage, whether it's accidental, you know, mechanical failure, bad weather, or deliberate.
Deliberate, like sabotage.
It's a possibility that has to be considered in threat assessments. So if that channel gets blocked, it wouldn't just trap submarines inside or outside the base.
What else?
It would halt all refined fuel deliveries to the entire city of Perth.
All fuel.
Perth is 100% dependent on fuel imports coming through that sound. So you block the channel, you cut off the fuel.
That would be chaotic.
It could create a massive cascading crisis.
All right.
Affecting everything from military readiness, obviously, to essential civilian services, ambulances, food transport, power generation, maybe, everything.
It certainly paints a stark picture of, well, how vulnerable things might be.
It does.
And this is where that communication breakdown seems so striking. You mentioned earlier, the report notes that a state MP, Mr. McGinn, actually took these concerns all the way to Washington to brief U.S. officials directly. He brought the Maritime Union's paper, too.
That's right.
That really suggests the local concerns, or perhaps the military-level concerns, weren't being heard properly back in Australia, doesn't it?
It strongly suggests that, yeah. And what was the response from the state government?
Mm-hmm.
The WA Premier, Roger Cook, apparently just dismissed these concerns, called them wrong.
Just wrong.
Categorically dismissed them. And, you know, that kind of dismissal, especially when you're talking about security concerns raised by experienced military professionals or even a local elected official trying to flag a risk.
Yeah.
It should immediately raise some serious questions. It kind of reflects either a, well, maybe a troubling lack of awareness about modern security threats,
yeah,
or perhaps an unwillingness to really acknowledge how complex this challenge is. The authors of the report, they use a pretty strong term for it. They call it opportunistic ignorance.
Opportunistic ignorance. That's, wow, that's quite a phrase.
It is powerful.
It suggests it's maybe easier or more convenient to just push forward with the economically beneficial projects.
Right.
And kind of hope the security worries just, you know, sort of fade away rather than doing the really hard work of a comprehensive threat assessment and integration.
That seems to be the implication, yeah.
But surely, I mean, the economic benefits of Westport must be pretty significant. Is there a possibility that some level of security risk is just deemed acceptable in a cost-benefit analysis, or is it more of a disconnect, do you think?
Well, that really hits the core of the problem, doesn't it? What's fascinating here, and quite concerning, is that the authors of the IRU report, Blackburn and DiPietro, they pose over a dozen specific, really crucial questions.
Questions for few.
Questions they say the Australian Defense Minister should be asking about this whole situation.
Like what kind of questions?
They range pretty widely from things like, you know, what rigorous risk assessments have actually been done, specifically looking at relocating the port near the naval base.
Okay. Basic due diligence, you think?
You would. To whether a detailed threat assessment has been done focusing specifically on weaponized merchant ships, like we discussed.
The Operation Spiderweb scenario.
Exactly. Or what contingency plans are genuinely in place, and have they been tested, for a major channel blockage, not just a plan on paper.
Right, a real-world drill.
Precisely. And the fact that these questions, these very fundamental questions, apparently haven't been satisfactorily answered,
mm-hmm,
or maybe haven't even been systematically asked at the highest levels, well, that's deeply troubling. It really implies a significant gap in strategic foresight.
A gap between state development goals and federal defense strategy.
Seems like it. Or at least a failure to fully integrate the two in a way that accounts for these modern risks.
And the report suggests this isn't just an isolated issue, right? Not just about Cockburn Sound.
No, they make the point that these kinds of vulnerabilities, this potential disconnect between infrastructure planning and defense needs, likely exist at other Australian ports too.
Where else?
Places near major defense installations. They mentioned Darwin, Newcastle, Sydney. Even critical infrastructure like LNG plants.
So it sounds almost symptomatic. Like a broader, maybe systemic failure to weave national security considerations right into the fabric of core infrastructure planning from the get-go.
That's certainly the broader concern the report raises.
Mm-hmm.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this specific situation in Western Australia, it really raises a fundamental question for any nation, doesn't it?
Yes.
Which is, how do we make sure our grand strategic visions, whether for defense or for economic growth, aren't accidentally undermined by this opportunistic ignorance, as the report called it, or just a basic failure to connect the dots between what seems like a local infrastructure project and the overarching national defense posture.
It's like building this magnificent high-tech house, but forgetting to properly secure the foundations or check who's building the house next door.
That's a pretty good analogy, actually.
Yeah. So just to recap where we've landed in this deep dive, we've looked at Australia committing billions, strategically pivoting to its AUKO nuclear submarine program. This is positioned as the absolute cornerstone of its future defense.
Absolutely central, yeah.
But at the same time, you have this multi-billion dollar state government project, the Westport port relocation.
Right, driven by economic needs.
Which is potentially creating a major security bottleneck in Cockburn Sound, right next to the critical HMAS Stirling Naval Base.
A bottleneck with implications for both military and civilian resilience.
So it's this inherent tension between economic development goals and what should be paramount national security concerns.
And the authors of that key report we discussed, mm-hmm, they've highlighted, what was it, over a dozen really specific, crucial questions.
Yeah, about risk assessments, threat evaluations, contingency planning.
Exactly. Questions that apparently haven't been properly addressed by the relevant government bodies, or at least not publicly.
Which suggests this isn't just, you know, a minor oversight. It points to a potential strategic vulnerability being created.
A vulnerability that might have been avoidable with better integrated planning, perhaps.
And it's just a stark reminder, isn't it, that national security today, in this era, it's incredibly complex.
It really is.
Traditional threats are evolving so fast, you have these asymmetric capabilities emerging.
Like weaponized containers, yeah.
And seemingly unconnected infrastructure decisions, maybe made at a local or state level for perfectly valid local reasons, can end up having these profound long-term strategic implications. Implications that affect not just Australia's defense, but potentially allied confidence, regional stability.
The ripple effects could be significant.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? How many other nations might be facing similar blind spots, where their own grand strategic ambitions could be subtly, or maybe not so subtly, undermined by a failure somewhere down the line to connect these critical dots?
That's the provocative thought to leave people with, I think. How well are any of us connecting those dots in today's complex world?